Thank you for listening to Crossroads Community Church of Jefferson Hills. At Crossroads, our mission is to be the church. By sharing and showing the love of Christ and inviting others to be recipients of Christ's love. Now here is this week's message from Pastor Floyd Hughes.
Again, welcome to our Sunday celebration where we love celebrating Jesus. I am Pastor Floyd, and before I get to anything else, since Melissa is here, and more of the parents are here, we are going to do our parent meeting. That's what happens when you're late. We talk about you. No, we don't do that. Actually, we do. Yeah, when people aren't here, we talk about them. Okay. In a good way. But we are going to have our parent meeting after Sunday celebration. But we're continuing in our series of the seven I am statements of Jesus. And if you missed any of it, I'm going to do a quick recap. But first, we're looking at the way that Jesus revealed himself to humanity, who he revealed himself to humanity to be, and also, if we are Christians, then who Jesus calls us to be for him, how we should live, how we should treat others. And a quick summary, again, we started with Jesus revealing that he was the bread of life, meaning he was the sustainer of people. And Jesus said this in reference to right after he fed 5,000 people, which, again, they recorded only men with women and children. It was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 15-ish thousand people. And his reference was to the bread of life or the manna that God used to sustain and feed the Israelites in the desert. So Jesus was saying, hey, I can sustain you. And who he calls us to be are faithful believers, especially in times of trial and times of struggle, in times when we're not sure what's going on and how we're going to make it through. Those are the times when we need to be extremely faithful in our walk. And then last week, we talked about how Jesus said that he is the light of the world. In other words, he was claiming that he is amidst all the darkness of the world, which he used as a metaphor for sin and the way that people mistreat one another. He said, I'm the light of the world that leads people out of sin. And we talked about how he was equating himself with God because according to God, the only remedy for sin is for God to forgive sin. So Jesus was equating himself with God. And then we said, if Jesus is the light of the world, who does he call us to be? And we looked at where he said we are to be children of light. What that means is that we are supposed to reflect God's light in us. The way that we treat other people, we're supposed to walk in his righteousness, his truth, and we're supposed to call out sin, but do it respectfully. And this morning, we're going to continue in the book of John. So if you have a Bible, open it up to the Gospel of John. We're going to continue in the book of John because Jesus made another revelation about himself. And here's the thing. Jesus always made these revelations in the context of what was going on in the lives of the people that he talked to. So we're going to look at that context and why it was relevant to those people today, but also look at how is it relevant to us today? Like how does what Jesus said back then going to impact how we live today, how we treat others today, and who Jesus calls us to be today? So again, have a Bible, open it up to the book of John, chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one on the table in front of you, left, right, somewhere. And if not, just raise your hand. We'll have someone bring one to you. So in John chapter 10, he starts like this, verse 1. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. And he's talking to a group of Pharisees. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. And he's using this analogy to something they would have understood. They all had farms. They all had sheep. Everywhere you drove, there were like sheep and cattle and gates and pens. So they would have understood this analogy. And he said, but the one who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber, referring to those who want to harm, steal, or do something to the sheep. Verse 2, he says, the man who enters the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. I will add that, I'll give a quarter to anyone who keeps track of how many times we say sheep. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, here's the thing. Jesus uses figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. So this was, again, a reference that they would have understood the reference because they all had probably sheep. They all had gates. But they didn't understand what he was trying to say when he said that. And to some of us, because like born and raised in New York City, we had no sheep. Okay? Living here, I don't see too many sheep. Time I spent in the DC area, no sheep. Not a familiar reference to me. But if he were talking to us today, think of it this way, because he's talking about protecting the sheep, which was something that was very precious to them. That was their livelihood. So now think about this. Think about your children. And if you put them in a daycare, and Jesus said, hey, the person who tries to sneak into the daycare, that person is a thief or a robber, or they're there to harm your children. And we would say, absolutely. Anyone trying to sneak into a daycare or sneak into a school isn't there to do the right thing, right? Jesus said, but the one who comes in by the gate, they're there to do the right thing. And that's the reference he was making. But back in verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech. And although they knew what the gate was and what the sheep was, they didn't understand what he was telling them. So therefore, Jesus said again in verse 7, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me, underline, circle, highlight that word all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. He said, excuse me, whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture, but the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And the only way, he's not talking about just so you could have a full life here on this earth. Again, all the references he's making are to eternal life. And again, this is something that a lot of people wouldn't understand, but Jesus literally said, he said the only way to God was through him. The only way to experience salvation was through him. And again, context is key, right? Because he's not just throwing this out. He didn't just walk up to a group of people and start spitting this out. But here's what happened. Over the last couple of verses, Jesus had just healed a blind man. There was a man who couldn't see. He was born blind, couldn't see from birth. Something horrible, something tragic. All his life could not see. And then Jesus came up and healed him. Didn't do any LASIK surgery. Didn't do any kind of medical practice. But healed the man. The man went around ecstatic. He was thrilled because now all of a sudden he could see. He could see trees. He could see sheep. He could see all these things. And when he went to the church criticized him, judged him, and didn't believe him. So imagine if one of you had spent your entire life blind, and then you walk into Crossroads, and the board of Crossroads is like, that's not really him. That's someone else. You guys are lying. And not only did they judge and criticize him, I'm not making this up. You can read it for yourself in the text. They called in his parents and said, is this really the same guy? Was he blind all his life or were you guys faking it? And his parents didn't want to say anything because they didn't want to get kicked out of the church. And so Jesus comes along and says to this blind man, hey, you need to put your faith and trust in the one true God. And then after Jesus heals this blind man, he challenged the Pharisees. Because as Jesus was having this conversation with the blind man in chapter 9, right after he told the man, hey, you need to put your faith and trust in me, Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who will see will become blind. And some Pharisees were the religious ruling council in that day, some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this, and they asked, what, are we blind too? And Jesus said, if you were blind, if you really couldn't see, then you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. And what he meant was, you have physically watched as I performed this miracle. You knew this man all your life. Imagine Gary, who's been at this church longer than I have, has been blind his whole life, walks in, says, now I can see, and the entire congregation says, that's not Gary. That's not the Gary we know. I don't know who Karen is bringing in this time, but it's not Gary. And instead of embracing him and celebrating him and what God did for him, we not only deny him, but we deny the God who did it. And so Jesus said, hey, if you were blind, if you couldn't see the miracles that I have performed and the things that I have done, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, you've physically seen the truth of God's word, your guilt remains because you're denying the truth. So he healed the blind man, he challenged the Pharisees, and then Jesus denounced every other religion with his claim to be the gate. This is that part that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. Because there are people of all these other religions, and what they hear when we say that is that you're wrong, you're bad, you're lying, you're this, you're that. But that's not what Jesus is equating. Jesus is saying, hey, if you believe the truths of God's word, if you believe all the miracles that Jesus proclaimed, the prophecies proclaimed, that history shows happened, right? And you believe that, then why wouldn't you believe what God says? And it's not that he is demeaning other religions, but he is denouncing them. Because he said every other religion, every other way that claims this is how you get to God, they're thieves and robbers and liars. And here's the thing, he made it crystal clear. But those who are truly seeking God, they're not interested in clinging to a religion. They're interested in finding the truth. And there's a story in the Bible in Acts chapter 10. Let me just dwell on this for a minute, where there's a man named Cornelius. And I just saw someone ask this in a video the other day. Can you believe that there is this God, but get to him without Jesus? And we talked about how last week, the thing that God requires of us is that we put our faith and trust in his son, Jesus, in the one whom he sent. And Jesus just said, hey, I am the only way. And for people who are seriously seeking truth, God will make a way for them to find him and get to him through Jesus. And in the book of Acts, there was this man named Cornelius. And Cornelius was an Italian. He worked for the government of Rome. And he didn't practice the Jewish faith. But he sought after God with all his heart. He gave things charitable. He was an honest man. He was a good man. So God said, hey, you know what? You're not going to get to me through what you're doing now. So God literally went to the apostle Peter and said, I need you to go to the house of Cornelius and tell him about Jesus so that he can come to me. And Peter was reluctant at first because here was someone of a different political perspective. He was someone that worked for the government that was oppressing Peter's government. Here was someone of a different nationality, different financial status. But God still said, go. So Peter went, And this man, Cornelius, because God said, hey, I'm going to send Peter to you, Cornelius invited all his family, all his friends. He invited his co-workers. He invited his third cousins who only came to him when they needed money. He invited his co-worker who stole his food out the fridge. He invited the neighbor that kept letting his dog poop on his yard. He invited everyone he knew, and they came and filled this house. And Peter said, hey, you know what? God has shown me that anyone who wants to know him, that God will make a way. And Peter literally started sharing the gospel with this house full of people. He didn't even get to finish. As he was speaking, the people started believing, and as they believed, God filled each and every one of them with the promised seal of the Holy Spirit, so that they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were now a part of God's kingdom. And then Peter, again, who was a different nationality, who was a different race, different financial class, different political perspective, and all of the people with him, they looked at all of those people who were different than them, realized they were all filled with the Holy Spirit just like them, and said, now we're all the same. They're just like us. They're just people who want to know God. And in order for them to know God, they had to do it through Jesus Christ. So Jesus denounced all of the religious claims. And I share this because growing up, my mom was not the most religious person. So she took me to any church that called itself a church. I went to Baptist churches. I went to Methodist churches. I went to Pentecostal churches. She took me to Jehovah Witness churches. She took me to, well, we didn't. We almost went to a Catholic church, but for some reason we didn't make it there. But she just took whoever you call the church, because that's what she thought it meant to know God. And through the working of the Holy Spirit, God led me to, not to a church or to a building, but to him, through Jesus Christ. So he denounced all of these other religions. And this is what he said, because I'm going to focus on this. He said, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. Those who truly were seeking after God, who weren't clinging to a religion, who weren't clinging to a political perspective, who weren't clinging to, well, this is what we do in my community. Those who were seeking for him, the sheep have not listened to them. And he said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will go in, they will come out, and they will find pasture. So Jesus reveals himself to humanity as the gate, or in other words, the only way that you can get to God, through Jesus Christ. That's who he revealed himself as to humanity. And we have thousands of years of prophecies that were made thousands of hundreds of years ago that were fulfilled over and over and over to show, yeah, Jesus was right. He could make that claim. He has all this history to bear him out. And so we've been asking who Jesus calls us to be for him. However, comma, I'm going to change that question a little bit. If Jesus is to humanity the gate, the only way to God, then the question we have to ask is, which gate are we using to get to God? Because Jesus said, hey, the only way we're going to get to God is through him. And the question is, are we using people to get to God? Because there are many people, myself used to be one who included, who thought, I've got to follow this particular man, and that's what's going to get me into God's kingdom. That's what's going to put me in right standing with God. That's what's going to make God look at me and forgive me for all my sins, and I'll be a part of God's family, and God will be with me through every struggle. And I was wrong. And it's not that there are some people with well intentions, good intentions, who are not trying to get people to follow them, right? And I'm not talking about like you follow someone on Instagram or on YouTube or whatever, but hey, you have to believe in me. I'm the only way. I'm that. And there are some well-intentioned people who, when they realize that's what's happening, they will correct it and say, hey, don't put your faith and trust in me. put your faith and trust in God. But there are also some thieves and some robbers and some fake church gangsters out there who will try to amass people to believe and follow them. And Jesus also said, if we try to do it by good works, by good deeds, by giving to charity, which is one of the things that Cornelius in the book of Acts was doing. He was giving to charity, and God realized, hey, that's not going to get him anywhere. Because the only way to God is through Jesus. And here's the reality. If in my head I think I can do enough good to get to God, then I'm one of the people that I'm putting faith in that's a thief and a robber. Because I can't do enough good to get to God. And if we think that we could do it by any religion or any ceremony, we're also not doing what God has called us to do. There is no religion. There is no ceremony. And I get this all the time because there are sometimes, and I'll share this as the band comes up, when people, pastors, will do altar calls. And I know you guys may not be in those circles because there's a whole lot of different things coming on your Facebook and your Instagram feed than there is in mine. But on mine, there are arguments from people about whether or not altar calls are biblical. And it's not that people, when they come to the altar, they're putting their faith in that act. They're just kind of like getting up and saying, I'm going to make a visible confession, and I'm going to go to the front, and I'm going to go to the altar, and I'm going to confess my sins, and I'm going to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But the reality is, there is no religious ceremony. There is no one denomination that if you follow that, or if you walk through the doors of that building, that you're going to be able to be a part of God's kingdom. And when we do altar calls, we tell people, I tell people all the time, you don't have to bow your head. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to stand. You don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to come to the front. You don't have to come to this building. If you leave here and in your car, you realize, you know what, I want to put my faith and trust in Christ. If you get home and you realize, I want to put my faith and trust in Christ. If you're sitting in the bathroom, brushing your teeth, and realize, you know what, I really want to be a part of God's kingdom. I want to put my faith and trust in Christ. Then all you have to do is believe. That's how Jesus claims that we get to be a part of his family. And here's the thing that I love. The Bible says that when we do that, it's not like I have to walk away wondering, did it work? Are you there, God? Because when we do step across our line of faith and put our faith in the fact that Jesus sent his son to die for us, to pay the penalty for our sins, the Bible says God gives us the promise seal of the Holy Spirit so that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're part of his family. Because we're speaking to a God who is spirit, about a spiritual kingdom, he gives us a spiritual receipt so that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are his. However, comma, if we're trying to get to God through any other way, then we're doing what the Pharisees did. I'm going to put this up in the Message version because it's just good old plain English. If you were really blind, you would be blameless. But since you claim to see everything so well, Jesus said, you're accountable for every fault and every failure. If we try to get to God through any other means than Jesus Christ, then it's our fault when we fail to experience being a part of his kingdom. It's our fault when all we're doing is following religious ceremony. It's all our fault when all we're doing are all these good deeds that are not really good. They make us nice people doing all the good deeds. They don't make us God's children. The only way to do that is through Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you guys to stand. God, we realize that is such a bold claim to make. That in a world where there's over several hundred thousand different denominations, to claim that your son Jesus is the only way to experience salvation, to be a part of your kingdom, such a miraculous, bold claim. We're so grateful that he backs it up, that he literally went to the cross, died to pay the penalty for our sins, and then rose from the grave to show us beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray that we don't leave here today without experiencing his love and your mercy and your forgiveness made possible through him. Amen. God, we thank you so much that you pour out your grace and your mercy and your love on all of humanity. That you give every single person, not just all of us here in this room, not people watching online, but every person, the ability to experience your love, your forgiveness, and to be a part of your kingdom and your family. God, we realize that there's a lot of crazy things going on in our world right now, but we pray that you would be with us through that chaos, through that crazy, through those struggles. We thank you that you heard every single prayer that we lifted up earlier this morning. And you know the prayers of our hearts that we won't even voice out loud. That's the kind of love that you show to us. And all you ask in return is that we accept and believe in your Son, and that we share and show that love to others. God, we're grateful for that love, grateful for your mercy, grateful for your grace that made it possible. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you did, please leave a comment on our webpage, crossroadsofjeffersonhills.com, or our Facebook page. You can also join our Sunday celebration every Sunday at 10:37 a.m. We look forward to hearing from you online or in person. Thank you and God bless.